Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our three pastors, Jonathan, Becca, and Jeff.
Well, we are reminded again today that generosity changes the world. And specifically, that God's generosity changed the world. We've been talking over the last several weeks about the ways in which we have all been blessed in great and amazing ways, materially and in so many other ways. And this morning, we are reminded as we come to this Commitment Sunday, this day where we wrap up these weeks of thinking about the blessings that we have received from God, we are reminded of the generosity of God and the importance and the significance that that makes in our lives. Have you received a gift from which you, having received it, you were really, really moved? Have you ever received a gift that really connected you with the person who gave it? When my wife Jen and I got married, my brother gave us a set of ducks. And no, they were not Oregon ducks. They were a set of mallard ducks that he had carved. It was a male and female duck that he had carved, that he had spent days getting the burns just right, the carving just right, getting the painting just right. And when we received that, I was very moved by the fact that he had been willing to take the time and the energy and the effort to do that and to give that kind of gift. When we recognize the generosity of others, and particularly when we really understand and we begin to grasp a little bit differently the generosity of God, it begins to have an impact on us. And that's what we want to think about for these few moments, because Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 7, these words. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. That last verse is really important. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. Jesus Christ gave up incredible riches for you and for me. What was the generosity that Jesus undertook? Well, in Philippians 2, it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. I know for many of us who have heard that passage or come to worship on any kind of a regular basis, it can become easy to take for granted this gift of God for us, this gift of giving all that he had for us. And yet, we need to be careful that we don't take that too easily, because Jesus actually gave up all his position in heaven. And he came to this earth to become a human being for you and for me. It was because of our sin that we were separated from God, that we created a gap between ourselves and God, and there was nothing that we could do to cross that chasm. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, taking your sins and mine, and rose again, forever defeating the power of sin and death and hell, offering us eternal life, the greatest gift, the greatest piece of generosity the universe has ever known. But he didn't stop there. He continues to be actively at work in our world through the power of the Holy Spirit, helping us to receive that gift, helping us to be transformed as the men and women that God created us to be, and helping us to be an example to the world in which we live. Generosity changes the world, and specifically, the generosity of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes our world and our lives.
Generosity changes the world. God's generosity most certainly changed the world and continues to change the world every time any individual person comes to understand the free gift of grace in Jesus Christ. and receives that gift, their lives are changed. And that grace, that changes that person, but it also changes the world through that person. They begin to live out that grace in their lives. That's certainly what happened in the early church. For there are stories upon stories upon stories about how the early church's generosity absolutely changed the world. If you hung around the church long enough, you know the timeline, the story. You've heard how Jesus lived, how Jesus died, how Jesus rose again from the dead after 3 days, and how his disciples, those 12 disciples, and 500 people on top of that, they saw him. They saw him alive. Well, those 500 some odd people who'd seen Jesus alive, they got together. They formed a community because they realized if Jesus was alive, well, that means he is who he said he was. If Jesus rose from the dead, that means he really was the Son of God. If Jesus then, they realized, if Jesus was who he said he was, well, that means they were who he said they were. And Jesus said things like, "You're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You, ordinary men and women, you will do even greater things than that which you have seen me do." They saw Jesus rise from the dead and they realized he was who he said he was, and that meant they were who he said they were. So they started living like it. They started acting like it, like they were the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And they formed a kind of alternative community. They rearranged their way of life. We read about this way of life in the book of Acts. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. You know, it's been argued that one of the most compelling arguments for, in favor of, the Christian faith is just the mere fact that it survived. It survived. See, first century Christians, they weren't organized. They didn't have any buildings. They weren't even recognized by the government. And for nearly 3 centuries, followers of Jesus Christ, they had nothing. They were ostracized socially. They were persecuted politically. And they were tortured physically. And yet, somehow, some way, their movement continued to grow. How do you explain that? Well, over the years, a number of historians and sociologists have tried to get to the bottom of it, to figure out how and why Christianity could not only survive, but thrive. And the conclusion they've come to is this. While Christianity had none of the conventional strengths to start and to continue a movement, its appeal and its influence can be traced to one unexpected source. Generosity. Generosity. For the early Christians, they did all kinds of crazy things. I'll give you 2 examples. These Christians, they took in children. Unwanted children. Children who had been left out, literally left out to die. It was a practice called exposure, common at the time. Anyone, it was a common practice, anyone, if a family had a child, they didn't have enough money to feed that child, or if the child was illegitimate, or just happened to have the unfortunate luck to be born a girl. Well, the head of that household could do what he wanted. He could get rid of that child. But it was the Christians. It was the Christians who went and they collected these children, took care of these children. They worked over the years not just to take care of the those children, but to change the practices that put them at risk and to create laws that protected children. That was the Christians. But that's not all. Sociologist Rodney Stark, he argued that one of the primary reasons for the spread of the Jesus movement in the second century was the way that these Christians responded to sick people. You see, during the middle of the second century, an epidemic broke out, killing somewhere between a quarter and a third of the population at the time. And then a little less than a century later, another epidemic broke out, which at its height was reported to have killed 5,000 people a day in the city of Rome alone. Well, as you can imagine, most people panicked. You want to stay well, get as far away from the sickness as possible. Most people put as much distance as they could between themselves and anyone they feared might be sick. They moved away. The Christians, they moved in. Dionysius, a third century bishop of Alexandria, wrote about their actions at this time, and he said, "Heedless of the danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ." The hallmark of those early Christians was not their wealth. They had none. It was not their theology. Nobody at that time really could figure out what it was that they believed. What gave them leverage was this inexplicable compassion and generosity. They had very, very little. But what they had, they gave. They received little, but they were willing. They were eager to extend what they had to others. And they were impossible to ignore. Those early Christians, their generosity changed the world.
So let's practice a little thankfulness. And I'll do that in front of you. And say how thankful I am to serve with Jonathan and Becca, and give thanks to both of you for the gifts that you so generously share with us as a congregation. God's generosity changed the world. The early church's generosity changed the world. And our generosity at Paley Presbyterian Church, our generosity can and will change the world. Winter is coming. Winter is coming. And what happens next? Then spring. So this is what I'm really excited about. So Patty and I have moved into this condo, and we have these great windows that look out to nothing but beauty. There's no houses behind us. Behind a tiny little tree line is St. Peter's Episcopal, historic church that goes back to 1700. You can't quite see it from our windows, but it's back there somewhere. We are just open. And there's this big common space right underneath our windows. And so I have this plan. Spring. For winter is coming, but then comes spring. And at springtime, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy wildflower seeds, just a big old bucket of them, and grow them abundantly in this common area behind our house just to see what happens. So I'm hoping color will just come out. And the four little houses that get to see that area will be, wow! Look at all the color there. I want to be able to abundantly throw out these seeds and see the wonder of what will happen. God speaks about giving abundantly and generously in Scripture. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, these words. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work, as it is written. He scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that has been given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Corinthians. Now those people living in Corinth. And you've heard me say this before. What is Corinth? It was a city that was called an isthmus. Can you say that out loud with me, please? Isthmus. What a weird word, right? What does that mean? It's a little squeezed-in area of land is what the city of Corinth was. That the land went out wide from each place, but in that squeezed-in area, they had the sea on both sides. They were a city filled with commerce that brought many people in, many different types of people in. And so we learn as we read through these letters to the Corinthians that they loved the grace and love that God poured over them. And they thought, this is pretty great. And then they went on with their lives of partying and joy and just thinking about themselves. God loves me. I'm okay. I'm just having fun. So Paul wrote him some letters and said, let me direct you in a different way. And very specifically in this passage that we read, he's directing them to remember that you are encouraged to share the gifts, love, grace, all the material that you have. Share those gifts bountifully, abundantly with those around you. God's generosity changed the world. The early church's generosity changed the world. And our generosity can and will change the world, change lives. I want to tell you about some changed lives. There's a young person in this church who has found that only in this church can they truly be themselves. This is the place where they feel safe and accepted. More than anywhere else, the place that they want to be. There's a married couple in our church. Things aren't just fitting exactly right. They come into a pastor's office and they share the journey that's a little bit challenging at that time. There are prayers. There is encouragement. The couple is changed. There's a young person in our church, a single young person in our church, lonely. Really doesn't have much of a connection with a whole lot of people. Comes into our church and finds a small group that they can be a part of. Well, they think, at least I have something to do on this certain day at this certain time. And as they begin going to this small group, it turns into something more than just Bible study. It turns into ending relational poverty. It turns into building relationship with other people. For no longer is it just about meeting that one time and doing a study, but all of a sudden there's, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? What are you doing on Friday night? You want to go to a movie? Relationship. been built through the generosity of love here in this place. We have at the end of this hall a cart, and it has a number of little flyers in it. And when I first got here, I looked at some of the titles of them and went, I wonder who's in charge of this and what's going on with this. Turns out it's the deacons, just so you know. So the deacons are overseeing this, and then I look at this for a while, and I look at all of you, and I see you pass it quite regularly and not pay any attention to it at all. As I'm leaving my office one evening, there's somebody there from one of the many support groups that meets at our church. And they're standing there very seriously and looking through them, and as I greeted them, they said, thank you for having this. I stopped here every week, every time we have a meeting. And I get one or two for me and for someone else also that I can share. A message of hope, and a message of grace, and a message of healing. And lastly, I want to tell you about a single person in the church who's not in community all week long until this person gets here on Sunday morning. And on Sunday morning is the time when that person is surrounded by people know them well and care about them. It's the only time in the week as we gather or gather worship that this person feels affirmed and loved and gets to communicate. Now, if you think you're one of these people that I've just mentioned, you may be, but you may not be. Because every one of these situations that I mentioned here is not one person. There are a number of people in our congregation. A number of people in our congregation, because of your generosity of building a ministry that empowers Becca, that empowers Jonathan, that empowers myself, that empowers the staff, that empowers the elders and deacons of this church to do ministry, you are changing the lives and allowing God to change people's lives. Bringing healing, bringing hope, and bringing peace. And I thank you for that gift. Our church, through Christ, is making a difference in the world. Later on in this service, you're going to be asked to bring your pledge forward. Drop it in the plate as the offering is being taken. The pledge for financial giving for the upcoming year. I want to invite you. If you have not thought about your pledge, if you have not talked about your pledge within your family, don't put it in the plate today. Just don't do it. Go back, take some time, and talk about it. So last night I was laying in bed with this person. You'll be happy to know it was Patty. And she leaned over to me and she said, so you're preaching on stewardship tomorrow, and we're to turn our pledges tomorrow, right? I said, yep. She goes, and we haven't talked about our pledge yet. I said, yep. So we haven't had the opportunity. There's been a lot of travel and there's been a lot of work. We're not putting our pledge in today. Sorry. We're not doing it because we want to take time and talk about it. We know our budget needs to, our giving needs to increase this year. And so we want to take time to talk about that. And I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done it. If you've done it, put that pledge card in. It's going to make the boy behind me very happy. If you haven't done it, do it this week. Get it into the church. Mail it or bring it next week. I'll make him very happy also. I want you to know that. We had a memorial service this week for Carol Lewis. Outside in the narthex, there were a number of bears. This one is just a little bear. There were all kinds of sized bears that were out there. And the family had a note out there and wanted me to announce to everybody that in a way of celebrating and remembering Carol, take a bear. Because what she did with all these bears that she collected was give them away to other people in need. So at the memorial service, I went a little further and rogue, further than they wanted me to. And I said, what I want you to do maybe is, if this is helpful to you to keep this and remember Carol, that's great. But I think what could be even more awesome is to honor her by taking taking a bear and giving it to someone else who's in need. So we're going to practice doing that a little bit right now. And we're going to practice maybe being Pentecostal and having everybody stand up. So would you all stand up right now if you're able to stand up? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Don't worry. Just stand up. If you're not able to stand up, you can raise your hand like this a little bit. So I'd say remain standing if you are over the age of 15. So you're invited to sit if you're 15 years and younger. Okay. Now you're invited to sit if you won't be here next Sunday. Remain standing if you know that you're going to be here. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. If you're traveling with family, you're not going to be here. If you know you're going to be here next Sunday, remain standing. Are we having a problem back here? You two are the only losers that aren't going to be here. Choir. Oh, three. Okay. 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 Now this is where it's going to get really hard. But I hear these are the most common months already. Take a deep breath. Remain standing if your birthday is in October or March. Sit down if you don't have a birthday in October or March. Okay, here we go. October people, raise your hand. You're going to have to just shout this out, okay? And I'm going to pick a number. Leave your hand up, October people. Whose birthday is closest to October 7th?
Five.
Do we have a...
Nine.
Six.
Six.
Who's a six?
Six.
Six. Two sixes? Okay. Is anybody... No one's five. Or what did I say?
Seven.
No one's seven. So all you October people sit down except for you two fives.
Six.
Sixes. That's what I said. I told you this would be hard. Okay. Now March people are still standing. March people are still standing. So who was born closest to 12 p.m. 6 in the morning. Okay, sit down. Come forward. Okay, yeah, just throw things around, no worries. Okay, stand right here. March people. Raise your hand if you're March people. You ready? I'm gonna pick a number. So you understand what we're doing here, right? And the number is 14. Who's closest to March 14th?
14 right here.
14? Is anybody closer than 14? Is there another 14? Miss Venus, would you please come forward? And you'll be here next week?
Yes.
And you'll be here next week? Come on up. So here's the deal. I got into Becca's wallet from last week, and I stole some $100 bills. So I'm going to give you a $100 bill, and I'm going to give you a $100 bill. All right. See you later. So this is what I want you to do. Like this bear, I gave an example. Over next week, I want you to be looking for somebody. God is calling you to bless with this $100 bill. For instance, you might be in Target and you might see kind of a haggard, hairy family just kind of scrambling or something like that. That might be something like that. I don't want to prescribe too much because I want to let God be a part of this. So then what's going to happen, because you're here next week and I'm preaching next week, you're part of the sermon. So we want to hear where you gave your money, why you gave your money, and what happened in the midst of blessing people with that money. Can you do that? remembering that God's generosity changed the world. The early church's generosity changed the world, and Paoli Presbyterian Church, we will and can change the world. So I'm going to say three sayings, and I want you to stand up now. And Jonathan, get ready, because we're going to go right into the song as they say these three sayings. Go ahead and stand up, get ready to sing. You're about to sing, "Here I Am, Lord." Beautiful song. But I want you with confidence, out loud, to say together these three sayings. I am the feet of Christ.
I am the feet of Christ.
I am the hands of Christ.
I am the hands of Christ.
And I am the words of Christ.
I am the words of Christ.
And let us sing with great joy.